Yeah.
Hey, was that Todd Gale form at Hip Field?
Yep.
Yeah. From one of those hollow Ruth verbs. Yeah, oh yeah, 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 right, right, exactly. Oh, okay. All right.
What? Some chatter.
Hey.
Do that on your own time.
Just slip me a 20, you can say what you want. Okay. Okay, here we go. John 1. And this is about John the Baptist. John 1, verses 6 to 8, 19 to 28. I was recently, along with Andy and others, down at the SBL, Society of Biblical Literature, National Convention in New Orleans, and I listened to one presentation which did talk about the introduction to John, and it was saying that this is kind of awkward, the way the discussion of John the Baptist almost seems to intrude in the discussion of the incarnation of the Logos. But let's remember, this is never pie-in-the-sky stuff about the Logos eternally with God and now being incarnate. And this always is anchored very much in history, even with something like the reference to John the Baptist very early on. So we start in verse 6 with Agenita, that good aorist middle form from Ginnamai. And it's a little bit dubious how we should translate this. Agenita anthropos ap estalmenas para theou onoma auto Ioannes. You'll see translations say something like, there came a man, and I guess that's all right. You'd be inclined to say, and it came to pass, except there's no other verb later on, so the agenita can't really have that it came to pass meaning to it. A man came on the scene. Ap estalmenas para theou. Ap estalmenas, masculine, singular, nominative. That's a perfect passive participle. Sent from God. In a sent condition from God. Now, note that's not an aorist. And it's not saying having been sent from God, but when he was there, he was an authorized person. Notice apostello is used, not pemple. It's possible, don't be fooled by the comma after anthropos. It could be an apposition like this, but remember there were no commas in the original manuscripts. This could be seen as attributive position. A man came who, you could do that because anthropos doesn't have the article itself, or it could be predicate. Notice it's para, para theou, theou. That's indicates kind of personal agency. And it's a kind of a common way to do it, sent from God. And then, name to him, John, literally. This is the so-called possessive use of the dative. Name with respect to him. His name was John, you would say. You know, it's interesting, a little warning for all of you who are addicted to computer programs. I saw a presentation or heard a presentation down in New Orleans where a fellow was doing some sort of computer layout of the Greek text, and he was saying that in the whole New Testament, there is only one example of the dative of possession. Well, Deanne, in Mark, I think one of the selections that we read, there were two there, you know. I pointed this out to him later, and he said, well, I was just doing what they told me, you know. Well, here's another one. I had forgotten about this one. Here's another one. They're fairly common, and that's the thing about these programs. They're only as good as the programmer. If he didn't see it, it's not going to be in the program. Houtos eilthen eis martyrion. This guy, this one, came for witness. That's that eis indicating purpose, unto for the purpose of it. Hina martyrese peri tu photos, in order that he might bear witness concerning the light. Martyrese, third singular, aorist, subjunctive, active in the hina clause. Hina clause functioning as purpose here. Hina, now another hina clause comes. Hina pantes pistoisosin de autou, in order that all might believe through him. The di is dea with the alpha eliding because of the following alpha. I'd like you to notice those two hina clauses there, because you have to ask yourself, what is the relationship between those two thoughts? I think it's sequential. You know, he came for witness. Now, the first hina clause is kind of an unpacking of that, appositional. That is to say, in order that he might bear witness concerning the light. Now, why would he want to bear witness concerning the light? Second hina clause tells you that. In order that all might believe through him. Pistoisosin, also aorist subjunctive active, third singular. These aorists, you'll remember, focus on the activity, not on connection between the person and the activity. So it just focuses on what he came to do, what he did. So, but also not the process or the fact that he was maybe engaged in it for a long time. You know, I mean, he was engaged in this as his ministry. It's not focusing on that. It's just it's answering this question. What did he come to do? Well, he came to bear witness. Now, that bear witnessing took place over days and weeks and months and so on like that, but I'm not focusing on that. I'm focusing not on the connection between him and the act, but just on what did he come to do. 8. Uk ein ekinos tophos. That one was not the light, but now let me comment on ekinos. Ekinos means that, houtos is this. John tends to use them interchangeably. Also, he tends to overuse ekinos. He tends to use it where you would expect houtos. In fact, from my observation, I think I can even say this. He tends to use houtos where you wouldn't expect anything, or you'd expect autos. And then he tends to use ekinos where you'd think houtos would show up. So you have to get used to John. He does Greek a little differently. So that one, or he, this one, was not the light, but he came in order that he might bear witness concerning the light. And there's no verb, there's no main verb there. Literally, he was not the light, but in order that he might bear witness concerning the light. He came in order that he might. You've got to fill that in. John at times can write a very kind of brief sort of Greek, like you see right here. Martyrese is again third singular aorist subjunctive active. By the way, photos, you'll notice, is a genitive of the word phos. It is a neuter for the word light. Okay, now we go to 19, and that picks up, so to speak, this interlude about John. Kai haute estin he martyria tu Ioannou. And this, feminine demonstrative pronoun, this is the witness of John when ap estylon pros auton, when they sent on a mission there, to him who? The Jews ex Hierosolymon from Jerusalem, priests and Levites. So when they sent to him. Now I want you to realize here, let's just spend a moment on this. If you are doing this interlinearly and you are not watching the cases, you could be tempted to translate this verse as follows. Listen to me carefully. When they sent to him the Jews from Jerusalem, priests and Levites. Well, except the Jews from Jerusalem is not the object. They didn't send the Jews. The Jews did the sending. So when the Jews out of Jerusalem sent to him priests and Levites. Here, Rice is actually a form that is masculine accusative plural. It is one of those Basileus patterns which sometimes uses this as the accusative plural in addition to the nominative plural. The ex Hierosolymon could be adverbial, sent from Jerusalem. Now, I just want to pause here to say, and I noticed that Professor Warnick, Dick Warnick's there taking some notes on this. In a sermon, this is an interesting challenge right here, to know what to do with the Jews. And translations in the contemporary scene have sought, interestingly, to change the phrase "the Jews" in John to "the leaders," because the Jews seem to be basically the leaders. And it has been contended, whether rightly or wrongly, that this constant drumbeat of the Jews doing wrong stuff has sort of translated in people's minds into a general anti-Semitism, as opposed to realizing, kind of like in the parable of the wicked husbandman, the leaders are the ones who had a little different view of all this, as opposed to the general run-of-the-mill Jewish person. So a person might want to be sensitive here as to how John is using the phrase hoi iudaioi, and it tends to mean Jews. It does mean Jews, but it tends to mean the leaders of the Jews in the way it actually comes out. So now I don't know if there is any other reference in the gospel to Levites having a role. This is really an interesting, it's a really interesting thing. Priests and Levites, who were kind of their right-hand men for the priests, in order that they might erotesosin him, in order that they might question him, ask him questions. Erotao is different from aiteo generally, in that erotao is asking, all right, but it's asking for information, and aiteo is asking for stuff, so that they might question him, we could say. In order that they might ask him or question him, see, tisai, you, who are you? Kai, homologesen kai uk ernesata, and he confessed and did not deny. Now, usually the translations will say, but confessed. But you notice it's a kai and confessed. It's a little bit awkward there. There seem, Andy was talking about things like having too many words, you know. Well, this is an example of this. And there are a couple of variants there. By the way, ernesata is an aorist middle, indicative middle, third singular. It's a deponent verb. So he confessed, and he did not deny. Andy, would you say this might be a Semitism here of kind of a wow sort of a thing? Right, yeah. But he confessed. Now, this hati is either hati recitatif, which means it's the equivalent of quotation marks, or you say that. I think it's the equivalent of quotation marks here, because it would not be right to translate it like this. He confessed that I, Jim Veltz, am not the Christ. Well, no, see, he's not saying he didn't confess that I am not the Christ. He confessed, comma, quotation marks, I am not ha Christos, the anointed one. And they asked him, what then, therefore? Remember, John tends to use un as a then, and not therefore, strictly speaking. Si heleas I, are you Elijah? Well, you'll remember the Malachi. Look in the side margin of your Nestle text. Those of you using the red one are being punished at this point. If you look at the side margin, there's the Malachi 3:23 reference about the coming of Elijah. This was a common eschatological expectation at the time. Please remember that at the time of Jesus' coming in the first century AD, there was high messianic expectation in general, and there was in general in the Roman Empire an expectation of a golden age dawning. So this is not an unusual situation. Kai Legai, and he says, aha, note how now John kind of ratchets the thing up here by switching to the present, foregrounding it. Uk aime, I am not. Ha prophetes I see, the prophet are you. Well, what prophet is he talking about? Side margin reference, Deuteronomy 18:15. This is the one like Moses who would arise after Moses and would instruct the people. Remember what Moses said, him you shall hear. And he replied, ooh, Hey, you should have said uhi, which would be more definite. But u, no, not. Nope. No. Ipon, third plural, aorist indicative active. Notice the weak aorist termination on the strong aorist stem, not ipon. And they therefore they said to him, or then they said to him, "Tis I, who are you?" Let's make sure we've gone through this a couple of times. That I is not the word for if. Notice it's got a circumflex on it. That is the word for you are with the circumflex from the verb to be, I mean. Who are you? In order that we may give, domen, notice the next line, domen, that's first person plural, aorist subjunctive active of didomi, in order that we may give apokrisin, reply, to the ones who sent us. Here's an example of while these people are described as apostelloed up in verse 19, you'll notice now pimpo is used, and John just tends to like to switch around on synonyms. This is a good example of this. On the other hand, they could just be saying, you know, you don't have to say, we want to give an answer to the guys who sent us with a commission. No, I mean, you could just say, we want to answer the people who sent us. So it might just be a more general usage. Ti legais peri sautou. Ah, sautou. That's a reflexive pronoun. What do you say concerning yourself? Now, John tips his hand at the next word that he's not such a bimbo Greek-wise as some people think. Efe, what is that? Ah, it's an imperfect third singular of phemi. Little classical touch here. He said, ego phone boontos ente eremo. Note the Septuagint quote from Isaiah 40. I am, I guess, a voice of the crying guy in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Oithinate would be a second person plural aorist imperative active. Just as Isaiah the prophet said. 24. Kai apestal. Now, this is kind of interesting. This apestalmenoi, you'll notice there's a variant in front of it, which is the article hoi. And those who had been sent were from the Pharisees. Or you just read it as it is, not the variant. And they had been sent from the Pharisees. The Pharisees, much more than the Sadducees, were Jesus' real enemies because of his going against the law. And also with John then, too. 25. By the way, apestalmenoi is a perfect passive participle. With ace on, it becomes a pluperfect. Yeah.
How long does this go?
Oh. Oh, okay. Till 28. Let's hurry through it. Yeah. And they answered him and said to him, why then baptizais do you baptize if you are not the anointed one, ude, and not Elijah, ude, and not the prophet? Well, okay. He replied to them, who did? Ho Ioannes, John, saying, ego baptizo, I baptize en hudati with water. That's the Hebrew b, that Hebraism. Mesos is an adjective meaning in the midst of. In the midst of you, heste ken, stands a guy whom you guys do not know. Heste ken, our obligatory form of histemi for the pericope. There's always one, you know, according to my theory. That is a perfect indicative active, third person singular, a good form which is intransitive and is the equivalent of the present tense. It doesn't mean has stood, it means is standing. The hun would be a contraction of stands one whom you know, do not know. Ha epistle mu erchomenus, the one coming after me. Epistle means behind, like up behind, after me. Hu uk aime ego axias, of whom I am not worthy that I loose the thong of his sandal. Well, here we've got one of these constructions where there is a repetition of the autu with that initial who on the previous page, right at the beginning of the clause. the thong of whose sandals? This is an excellent example of a primary Semitism because it's reflecting what Asher has to do, where you say Asher it, because Asher does not have various persons and numbers and cases and so forth. Liso, by the way, is to be parsed as first singular aorist subjunctive active. Last verse. Tauta, these things in Bethany egeneta happened beyond the Jordan. There was a second Bethany, where ha Ioannes, John, was baptizing, and ein goes with baptizon as a periphrastic, where he was baptizing. By the way, I should just say, when he says, is he Elijah? And he says, no, you know, Jesus says quite plainly in Mark that he is Elijah. Well, but he is not Elijah rey de vivos. He's not the Elijah who appeared on the mountain at the transfiguration like this. So in one sense, he is not Elijah. In another sense, he is Elijah. I mean, he wasn't lying here. But I think this is sort of like the messianic secret in Mark, where Jesus is not giving out who he is. Why? Because there's a lot of wrong expectations around.